but that at first, in chapter
53, we're told that the Messiah will be despised and rejected, that he will suffer, that he's a man of pain, that he'll be held in low esteem by people, but we're told that it's not for his sin. See, the rest of us get held in low esteem because of our own sin, but he's held in low esteem because of our sin and not his own. In chapter 53 of Isaiah, starting in verse 6, and I'm going to share verses 10 and 11 with you this morning. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. The Word of God saying, 8 billion out of 8 billion of you. You've all done what's right in your own eyes. You've all gone your way instead of God's way. You've all sinned. Each of us has turned our own way, and the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, on the Messiah, the iniquity of us all. Every sin, past, present, and future, laid upon Jesus. And skipping down to verse 10 here, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and to cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, it's so clear what God is doing here. He will see his offspring, and he's not talking about physical offspring, but the result of what he's doing here on the cross, life given to others. He will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. And after he has suffered, he will see the light of life. After he's crucified for our sins, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. Be satisfied with the result of what he suffered, the fruit of it, and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. By knowledge of him, by knowledge of who the Messiah is, by knowledge of what he did on the cross to pay for our sins, many will be justified. It's amazing. It's amazing, this scene that looks so tragic at the cross, that God's holiness is overcoming all of the sin of the world, that the wisdom of God is overcoming all of the foolishness of mankind, that the power of God is overwhelming and overpowering our weakness, and that the love of God is overcoming all of our hatred. Now, Jesus wasn't the only one there at that scene. There were a couple of other men there. But they were sinners. They deserved to be there. One on his right and one on his left. The Bible says that one of those thieves died in his sin. But the other cried out for mercy. He looked to Jesus and was forgiven. Jesus, the Son of God, was made sin for us, the Bible says. He did this so that we might be washed clean and be sinless in his sight and be given his righteousness if, just like those two thieves, there's a choice to be made. And those two thieves crucified next to him made different choices. One was humble and turned to Jesus and was honest about his sin. And there on the cross, he repented. He turned to Christ in faith. The other did not. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. He wasn't calling on the Father to forgive people because they're ignorant. He wasn't calling on God to forgive people against their will, or else both of these men would have been saved that were crucified next to him. See, the Bible says we are made in the image of God. God has free will. We have free will. We have a choice to make. We can choose to sin or we can choose not to sin, including the sin of rejecting God's Son. We have a choice to make. And Jesus prayed, though, for the forgiveness of sinful men and women, for people to receive his sacrifice, to understand the immeasurable love of God, but that doesn't mean everybody will be saved. It doesn't mean everybody's going to turn to Jesus in repentance and turn away from their sin. It just means Jesus made a way for everyone. That the power of Jesus' blood and his sacrifice is sufficient for all the sins of everyone, whosoever will turn to him and turn away from sin. We can have peace with God. We can have life in his Son. The Bible says it is while we were enemies of God that he did this, that he sent the Son to die in our place that we could be forgiven. And Jesus prayed as he was crucified, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. What's Jesus revealing in these words? What's he revealing from his heart to us today as he speaks these words from the cross? Father, forgive them. First of all, he's revealing to us that he is the Savior, that he's the Son of God. He said, Father, because it is literally his Father that he's praying to. He's the Son. He is the Messiah. Jesus, the unique Son of God, is the only one who could take away the sin of the world. Those thieves crucified next to him couldn't do anything to pay for their own sins. Only Jesus, only the Son of God, could do this. In John 5:16, the Bible says, so because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, he was doing good works, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, my Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working. For this reason, they tried to kill him all the more because he told them the truth. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And on the cross, as Jesus prays this prayer and says, Father, forgive them, again, he's letting the world know he is the Son. He is the Messiah, and only in him can there be forgiveness. In John 14, verse 6, Jesus just lays it out. I am the way, the truth, and the life exclusively. There is no other. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you will know my Father as well. From now on you do know him and you've seen him, Jesus said, because you know me. In these words of Christ, Father, forgive them, Jesus reveals again, he's the Son. He's the Son of God. He's the Messiah. And he's revealing to us the uniqueness of who he is. He's also revealing sin. And saying, Father, forgive. And I think Jesus is speaking, yes, about the people who are driving nails into his hands and for the Father's forgiveness on them, but he's also praying for us all. He's offering forgiveness to us all and praying for our salvation. All of our sin is revealed here at the cross. All of our sin, as Jesus prays, Father, forgive. He's saying you all need forgiven. And he's crying out of love for us. You know, a lot of times, because of the way, for good reason, the way the Word of God talks about our sins being covered, you know, blessed are those whose sins are covered and forgiven. And our sins are covered by the blood of Christ, but at the cross, all of our sin is uncovered. At the cross, all of us also have to come there and be honest and say, I'm a sinner, and Jesus is praying for me. I need forgiven because I have sinned. And so when we come to the cross, yes, it's to come that our sins would be covered by the blood of Jesus, but it's also a great exposing and a great honesty that we have sinned. This is the culmination of all sin here at the cross. Every sin that had ever been committed up until that point, Jesus taking upon himself, taking the wrath of God for those sins, every sin that would be committed after that. But then think about the sin that's happening as Jesus has been crucified by these sinful men. They are, and yes, this is part of God's awesome plan, but they're murdering the righteous, holy Son of God. They're taking the life of the King of Kings and the Prince of Peace And Jesus says, yes, even this. Father, forgive every sin. But sin is exposed here. What was done to Jesus was for our sin, to pay for our sin, and sin is ugly. This is what sin leads to. This is what sin does. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Sinners are revealed here in this prayer of Jesus. Father, forgive them. Again, the words of Isaiah 53, verse 6, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, on Christ, the iniquity of us all. We were willfully sinning against the Father. Willfully sinning against God. And Jesus, nailed to the cross, says, Father, forgive sinners. Jesus said, I didn't come to save righteous people. I came to call sinners to repentance, to save sinners. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive sinners. And unless we're real, when we come to the cross in faith and understand who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God, and our sin is exposed there, and we are sinners, then that prayer is not for us. We have to be honest. Father, forgive them. Forgive sinners. And then also here, God's love is revealed. God's love is revealed. Father, forgive them. This is not just a prayer. It is a prayer. It's a powerful, awesome prayer of Jesus. This is the cry of his heart. This is the love of Jesus. Not just his will, but his love just pouring out, interceding for you and interceding for me. In Romans 5:20, the Bible tells us, now the law came in to increase trespass. That means that a lot of times we might sin out of ignorance, but the Lord has given his law. And so now people willfully sin, consciously sin. But where sin increased, where sin was present, where sin was exposed, of all places here at the cross where sin is on display, grace abounded all the more. Grace abounded all the more, saying that the grace reigns over sin, that the righteousness of Jesus reigns over death. And Jesus wants us to understand the price that he paid. Out of love, the weight of the sin, so that the depth of his love, the height and the width and breadth and depth of his love, that we could comprehend it a little better, to understand how terrible the weight of our sin is, so that his love is all the more amazing, that he would die for us. God's love is revealed here. The Bible says that this is a love that endures. In Philippians 2:8, God's word tells us, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You know, at any moment, Jesus could have offered a different prayer. And 1,000 angels would have come down and saved him. But he was obedient unto death out of love. Out of love for me and you. Hebrews 12:2 tells us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him. Can you imagine the joy set before him? He knows he's going to the cross. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And here's his prayer. Father, forgive them. We can't imagine the agony of what he went through. Not just the physical crucifixion, that's bad enough, but then the wrath of God poured out for our sins upon his Son, and love, in the midst of that, love for us compels Jesus to pray, not help me or rescue me, Father, forgive them. Pardon them. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Sometimes people might read that last part and get a little confused and think that ignorance is somehow an excuse for sin. It's not. That's not what Jesus is saying. Ignorance is not part of the gospel message. We're told in Romans 5:1 that we're justified by faith, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ by faith, not by ignorance. So it's not by ignorance. Ignorance is not an excuse. We're not justified by that. But Jesus is saying, they don't understand, Father. They don't understand the weightiness of their sin. They don't understand how ugly it is. They don't understand how horrifically they've offended you. Jesus, if you and I were to suffer the wrath of God for our sins, guess what? We'd understand the weight of our sin. Jesus is the one who took that. He's the only one. When he says, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing, he's the only one on that scene there at Calvary who clearly understood what we were doing, because he was the one taking the weight of the wrath of God for that, so that we wouldn't have to. Jesus prays this prayer, Father, forgive them. And then he's the answer to the prayer. He's the way to that forgiveness. I think Jesus was an awesome prayer warrior. I've known some good prayer warriors in my life, but I'm thinking Jesus was like way beyond anybody else. I think his prayers were powerful and effective, as the Bible says. The prayers of a righteous person they're powerful, right? Anybody more righteous than Jesus? His prayers are powerful. Not long after the resurrection, the disciples are hanging out waiting on the Holy Spirit like Jesus told them to, and the Holy Spirit fills them, and they go out and they're sharing the gospel message, and Peter is preaching and telling people the good news about Jesus, and 3,000 people, the Bible says, put their trust in Christ and are saved that day because Peter is a great preacher. It's not at all what the Bible says, and I don't think that's what happened there. And maybe he was. I don't know. It doesn't say he was a lousy preacher either. But I do believe that Jesus was very powerful in his prayers. And I think that when he said, Father, forgive them, that has continued to ripple out for a couple thousand years now. I believe that part of the answer to that prayer was when Jesus saved me. Father, forgive James. He doesn't know the weight of his sin, but I know it because I took it for him. Jesus prayed this for you. Father, forgive. Put your name there. Father, forgive them. When I think about that, when I think about what the Son of God prayed there on the cross and what he did to save us, I think, how could I do anything but rejoice when anybody's forgiven of a sin, no matter who they are, no matter what they've done, if they come to Christ in faith and repentance and they are forgiven no matter what they've done, man, I should be ready to have a party just like they're partying in heaven because Jesus' prayer is being answered. Isn't that awesome? I was reading about John Wesley preaching a sermon on forgiveness, and when he was done with this sermon, according to the story that I read, this man came up to him and he said, you know, Pastor, there's people who've done this to me and that to me, and I could never forgive them. And John Wesley said, well, I hope you never sin. It is people who have not received forgiveness that can't give it. You can't give what you haven't gotten. There was a pastor in the 1800s, Thomas Talmage. He was actually extremely well known back in the day. But he said, those people who have the most faults, and we're all sinners. I think what he's saying here, those people with the most faults, he's saying those people who are just unrepentant in their sin, who are just sinning and they don't care. They're just unrepentant. Those people who have the most faults themselves are the most merciless in being hypercritical and unforgiving of others. I think that's true. And I believe from the Word of God today that the Lord would have us be honest. Are you a forgiving person? The only way that can happen is if you first come to Christ for forgiveness. If you're not a forgiving person, that might be a really good indicator that you are not forgiven. That you don't understand what Christ completed on the cross. Are you a forgiving person? God doesn't force forgiveness on us. He's not going to make you be forgiven. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I think wrapped up in that prayer, Jesus was praying for time. He was praying for a withholding of the judgment of God. He was saying, Father, give them time to repent. Give them time to turn from their sin. The Bible says that the Lord is not slow to act, as some think. He's just very merciful and patient. He's giving time for sinners to be saved if they will come to Him. I'm going to close this in prayer. Worship team, you're welcome to come back up. For everybody here this morning and for those joining us online today, I just want to say that that prayer of Jesus is for you. That sacrifice on the cross is for you. That love is for you. But unless you will do what Jesus commanded, if you won't repent and come to Him in faith, your consequences eternally are not canceled yet. And Jesus invites all of us, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done, to turn to Him for forgiveness, to receive eternal life, to be adopted into His family and loved, to be given all of the promises of eternal life with Him. He is a God of blessing and life and mercy. And He says anybody who will come to Him for forgiveness, He will not turn away from. Lord Jesus, You're right about us, Lord. We don't know the weight of our sin. We are ignorant. But thank You, Lord, that out of love for sinners, even while we were Your enemies, that You took something horrible from a human perspective and in Your divine purpose used it for the most wonderful of wonderful events. And that right now, the power of that sacrifice on the cross is not diminished at all. 2,000 years later, that right now, anyone can call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Lord, we pray that you would give that wondrous gift today, Lord. We pray that for those here in the sanctuary or for those watching online, Lord, if there's anybody that has not turned to you in faith and said, Lord, I'm a sinner, but I want to be saved. I want to receive your life and your mercy and your grace. I want to receive forgiveness today. Lord Jesus, we pray, draw people close to your heart today. Give them that miracle, we pray, by your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you would do that for your glory and that your name would be exalted. Lord Jesus, it's in your name we ask it. Amen.